Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
So as she went around the corner, all of a sudden, poof. Where are you? I don't know. We couldn't see our hands in front of our faces. We didn't know what to do. We started getting terrified. So we started crawling on our hands and knees. It took us 15 minutes to find our way out. And by the time we got out, our knees were bruised and bloodied. And the first thing we did when we got out, we looked at each other and said, together, now that was stupid.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, you're going to hear Pastor Wayne share a story of what happens to two young boys when they decide they can get along without a guide. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being our guide. In fact, He's the one who guides us into all truth. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Promise of the Holy Spirit.
Now, we live in a culture where promises really are defined as sort of a hopeful chance of something coming to pass. When someone says, I promise I'll give you the money. I promise I'll bring your tools back when I'm done. I promise. Yeah, right. It's sort of like maybe it'll happen. If it comes back, what shape is it going to be in? And so when we hear somebody say, I promise, you better have a backup plan. Because that's how it is with our culture. The problem is, it makes us skeptical, and we bring that skepticism to the Bible, and when we hear of a promise of God, we're sort of skeptical, and maybe it's an option, even though we know that in 1 Kings it says, not one of the good promises which God made to Israel failed. They all came to pass. But still, because we live in this, baked in this culture of skepticism, we better have a backup plan. And sometimes we're skeptical of promises to our own peril. That's how three Portuguese died. Let me tell you about them. They were up in the ninth floor of an apartment building and fire broke out. On the fire engine, the volunteer fire department from Kakaako comes, pulls in the back driveway. The first one is Joaquin, ninth floor, help, help, the fire gonna burn me. So they pull out this sheet and they say, jump. Jump, Joaquin. Joaquin says, are you going to make sure that thing hold me? We promise. So he jumps. Just as he comes towards it, they pull it away. Whoo! Whack! Oh, no, the next window is Frankie. Help! I'm going to burn too. So they run down the driveway a little bit, and they hold the sheet, and they said, help! They said, jump, Frankie, jump. I saw what you did to my brother. I'm not going to jump. You're going to pull the sheet. No, no, we promise. So he said, okay, so he jumped. Just when he come, they pulled the sheet, whack. Well, the third window down there is Manel. Manel says, help, help. So they run down towards Manel. And they said, jump. Manel said, no way, I saw what you did to my two brothers. I'm not going to jump. They said, you better jump, the fire going to get you. No way, I'm not going to jump. You better jump. Manel says, okay, but before I do, the only way I'm going to jump is you put that sheet on the ground and move away. Little too skeptical. But sometimes we're so skeptical we don't receive any promise unless there's a guarantee with it. Well, what if then God gave not a verbal promise but a living promise? A what? A living promise. How would that be? Well, it's sort of like the story I heard where a freshman in college was, the whole freshman class was going to take a mathematics final. And it was such a difficult test that they were complaining, saying, can we make it an open book test? No, the professor said. Can we bring our calculators? No. They were complaining so much, saying, then we won't even survive this test. So he said, okay, whatever you can get on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, you can bring. Okay, the students said, and they were microscopically writing all these equations down. So the next day, they'd have a sheet filled with all of these helps. Well, the assistant the next day passed out the final, and they all were profusely taking the test. And when the professor arrived, they were all taking the test, but next to this one freshman's desk was a graduate math student, one of the best tutors in the mathematics department, a brilliant graduate student, standing next to this freshman, giving him all the answers. And he's like, okay, okay. And the professor said, whoa, 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 what is this? He said, well, professor, you said anything we can get on a piece of paper we could bring, right?
Right. And the guy was standing on a little piece of paper.
Lord. You see, he was that living tutor. He was a living mentor. And even though the professor said, I promise you can use whatever that gets on a piece of paper, that became a living promise rather than just written. And it's sort of like this. The Holy Spirit is that living promise. In fact, the Bible says that he will guide you. Let's take a look at the top of our notes and see about this guide. Would you read John 16, 13? Go. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Would you underline that last line? He will tell you about the future. Now, your scripture memory for this week, the promise, is that bold part. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. Because, you know, the last few we had were real long and was real hard for you guys to memorize. So I made them real short. That makes it easier. So in the bold part of the scripture, John 16, 13, let's read it. That's the scripture we're going to memorize. Here you go. Ready? Go. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Okay, let's try it without looking. Go. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Scripture, John. Good. John 16, 13. So that's it. Now, the Spirit of truth is called a guide. The Spirit of truth is called a guide because he will guide you into all truth. So now that tells me that truth needs a what? Guide. Would you write that in your notes? Truth needs a guide. He's a Spirit of truth. But truth needs a guide. He will guide you into all truth because truth needs a guide. Now you can ignore the tutor. You can resist the guide. Or you can make him your friend. I remember when I was in junior high, we went through an excursion. I was a year and a half in Oregon in my middle school years, and we had an excursion to go to the Oregon caves. And when we went there, it's a beautiful, magnificent underground caverns with stalactites and stalagmites and mineral springs. It's tremendous. And we went through there. The guide was explaining these things. And me and a friend of mine thought it'd be real fun to just say, hey, let's let them go. Let's do our own tour. We don't want to stick with the crowd. Let's be different. So my friend said, all right. So we hid and let them go ahead. And they went down the next tunnel and then the next. What we didn't know was that as the guide is giving the talks, she presses a button and the lights come on in that cavern. And then when she leaves, they shut off. So as she went around the corner, all of a sudden, boom. Where are you? I don't know. We couldn't see our hands in front of our faces. We didn't know what to do. We started getting terrified because they were cliffs. I mean, you know, long ways down. So we started crawling on our hands and knees. It took us 15 minutes to find our way out. And by the time we got out, our knees were bruised and bloodied. And the first thing we did when we got out, we looked at each other and said, together, now that was stupid. Well, the next year, we had an excursion again. We went through some of the other caverns in the same area, though. And when we went through that, we decided to stay real close to the guide this year. And you know, it was the most beautiful experience. The wondrous creation, the artistic work of God underground was absolutely stunning. And the funny thing was, we had gone through it the first year, and it was terrifying and horrific. The second year we went through, and it was beautiful and magnificent. Same pathway. What made the difference? The difference was how far I traveled from the guide. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's going to guide you. But he's going to give us a scripture to tell us how important he is. And this is a non-negotiable promise. Let's read the next scripture. Luke chapter 24. Go.
And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He was saying this to the disciples in the book of Acts, and he said, now this is a non-negotiable. Don't just go off on your own thinking you can do it on your own, because you can't. Wait for this promise and make sure you don't lead him, but you follow his guide. Well, why is it so important for us to be clothed with this promise and to follow and make sure that we wait on him? Why? Well, would you write number one? Because the Holy Spirit, he knows God's plans. Would you write that in? He knows God's plans for us. Did you know that the Holy Spirit knows the future? He knows the past. The Holy Spirit was there in the beginning with God. He was there in the design room when God was designing your future. So he knows the mind of God for you. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. Reason is because he is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. But in that form, he is called the Holy Spirit, because Jesus in his physical form, he is one person at one place when he walked the earth physically. But God wants to be with every single believer. So in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the promise was given that we can have a personal relationship 24/7 with God as the Holy Spirit speaks and guides and mentors us and tutors us. And the Holy Spirit knows God's future for us because he was there in the divine design room. He was there at the beginning of time. Let's rewind the tape all the way back to Genesis 1, verse 2. Let's read this. Go. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Was he there in the beginning? Yeah, you bet. And he knows everything about God. He knows how he thinks. The Holy Spirit knows what pleases the Lord, what he's planned. Jeremiah 29, 11, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. God has a future plan for you. God knows what the future is to be his best for your marriage. When he planned my life, he said, Wayne, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I plan these things for you. Now, who knows the plans and who knows the future? I don't, but the Holy Spirit does. So he gives me this promise or this tutor, and he says, Wayne, follow him. Listen to his voice, because he knows my plans for you, and he knows everything I think. And the best thing you can do for your future is to make friends with the Holy Spirit and to listen to his guidance, because he will guide you into all truth. You can't do it alone on your own strength. You've got to follow him. He knows everything. In fact, let's read the next scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:11. Go. Even so, the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. He knows the very thoughts of God. Did you know that God, he knows God's design for this church? The Holy Spirit knows God's design for my life. He knows the future. He knows. If you're a single person, he knows your future, whether you're to be married, what vocation or career you are to have in life that God wants for you and it's the best. He knows all of that. And so he's been given to us as a gift, a person to guide us, a living promise. And it will do us well to listen and to follow. He also knows the pitfalls that we can avoid, so that we won't miss the will of God. And one of the ways he helps us in that is he gives us a map. He gives us a guidebook and helps us to avoid the pitfalls in life. And you say, well, how do I understand how he sounds, how he speaks? I got to learn more about the voice of the Spirit of God. So I can discern his voice. Well, one of the ways that you do is through the Word of God or the Bible. And that's why we pretty much hammer a lot on the daily devotions. Because as you read, watch this, you'll read and you'll see how God deals with problems. And you'll say, oh, Lord, that's how you deal with problems. Oh, That's how you treat that person with disability. Oh, that's how you dealt with that one who was poor. Oh, that's how you thought about that situation. And pretty soon you begin to understand the character and context of our God. And then when the Holy Spirit speaks, you'll say, oh, that was my Father's voice. I know, because it matches up. Oh, that voice, something's not right because it doesn't quite match up. What was just heard? That's my Father's voice. I know, because they match up. You see, there's a context and that works in tandem. And so the way that you begin to understand and hear the Spirit of God's voice and discern it is as we're reading the Bible over and over again, pretty soon you say, I know what my God sounds like. That's how he responds. That's how he thinks. And when you hear his voice, it matches up. Ding! That's my Father speaking. And that's why it's so important to be a people of the Word of God and the daily devotions that we do. So he knows how to help us to avoid pitfalls, and he gives us a map. And he knows God's design. Well, can I fulfill it on my own? No. Would you write in number 2? The reason you want to wait on this promise and follow him closely is because he can fulfill God's design in me. Fulfill God's design. He was there in the divine design room when God was designing your life. So he knows. And when he gives this living promise to us, it'll do us well to listen and obey, because he's saying, Wayne, this is the way. Now, if you go, you can reject my guidance, you can reject my advice and my counsel, but then you'll miss the will of God and the design that he has for you. Well, I want all that God has for me. Great. Then follow me real closely, because I know the way. And you'll need to trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Because he can fulfill God's design in your life. And that's what Paul the Apostle said. He said, man, I want to attain in this lifetime everything God saved me for. Let's read what he's saying in Philippians 3, 12. Go. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working towards that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. You understand? He's saying, I want to make sure that I attain to that future that God designed for me and architected for me and then put into potential form into my life. And I've got to walk into that, but I need help because truth needs a guide. And so he gives me the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. Now I can reject him and just say, well, maybe it's optional. Or I can say, no, I want to obey everything you have to say because you're guiding me through this. And I want to make sure that I achieve and attain to everything that God designed for me to have. So he gives us the Spirit of God to guide us. He knows God's plans for our future. We say, well, is it a good one? Absolutely. Okay, then I'll be a multi-billionaire. No, may not be. May or may not. God's plan may or may not be for you to be some billionaire, but rather maybe a servant. That's the best for you. See, we have to come to a point where we say, Lord, whatever you design me to be, I want to be that. Oh, it's not comparing with others here or the lives of the rich and the famous or this. I want to be what you want me to be, not what the world wants me to be or Hollywood. You. Because for some, the Lord may say, I want you to be a servant. I want you to be a teacher. I want you to be a counselor. I want you to be a missionary or a pastor or a teacher in a Bible college. Or I might want you to be a mom that raises those 3 kids I'm going to give you. And little do you know, mom, one of those kids will be another Billy Graham for the 21st century. You don't know that. But if you'll be faithful to let me guide you, you will see how we will change the world. But sometimes we reject that. That's not good enough. I want something better because the world is saying, look at all, and I compare myself, and I may miss the promise of God's future that may not be for this generation, but you're investing in the next where something great will take place. A D.L. Moody, a Billy Graham, another David, another ambassador, Paul the Apostle kind of person, an Esther or a Ruth. We have no idea. And as the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to be a good mom. I want you to be a dad. I want you to be a pastor, a missionary. I want you to be a CEO, a businessman. I want you to do this. And when you become this, this is what I want you to do. Why? Because that's how God designed it. And if you walk into that, you'll see what God had planned, and you'll understand the impact that your life will make. And just think, if every single one of us did that, walked with the Holy Spirit, the living promise of God, the tutor of God, and we become all that He created us to be. Do you understand how powerful the church will be? And that's why God says, don't leave Jerusalem without Him. Make sure that you're walking with Him. Can I do it myself? Let's read Ephesians 3:20. Let's read it. Go. By His mighty power at work within us, He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. He's able. He is able. Now, there's one rub. If you're going to develop a relationship with Emmanuel in the person of the Holy Spirit to guide you and tutor you into God's best, it's going to require one thing. Would you write down, but we must be willing to obey. Obey. Number three, we must be willing to obey. It's going to require obedience. Let's read Acts 5, an account of the early church, and see what the Lord says to these young men and women intent on following God's best for their futures. Read it with me. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who... So as I say, Lord, I want to obey, guess what? The Holy Spirit becomes even more delighted to guide and to give truth and to show us the future as we walk with Him step by step. But if I choose to disobey, I got a better way. I'm going to compromise. She looks good. Forget it. And we resist and go the other way. Then what happens is the Holy Spirit does not have entree into our life anymore, and we start to miss God's best, and we hit pitfalls again and again. And then you know what His ministry becomes? His whole ministry is bailing me out, putting out fires, bandaging up my wounds. Will He do that? Yes, He's a wonderful Lord. But I don't want that to be His main ministry, of pulling me out of pit holes and pulling me out of sewers all the time and bandaging me up. No, I want Him to be what God designed Him to be, which is a guide to all truth. So in order for me to have that kind of relationship with Him, I must be willing to what? Obey, right. Because He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. What use is it if He gives me the Holy Spirit to guide me and I don't listen to Him? So He's saying, obey. What good is it, Wayne, to buy a $3,000 saddle for someone who hates horses? Or to buy someone a tremendous cruise ticket around the Mediterranean to someone who hates boats and oceans. It's useless. God is saying, if I'm going to give you the precious promise of the Holy Spirit, a living tutor, then the rub is obey Him. Then He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Oh yes, He'll bandage you up, but don't let that be His whole ministry of putting out your fires and pulling you out of pit holes. Let Him begin to guide you into all truth. That will mean that we'll have to obey Him. But there's two types of obediences. Would you write it down in your notes there? The first kind of obedience, and we just talked about it, is corrective or correcting obedience. Correcting obedience, where we obey and He corrects us. In other words, I'm wanting to go one way and He's going to correct me. I want to resist God and He corrects me. No, He does not condemn. He will convict, but the Holy Spirit never condemns. Conviction draws you nearer to God. Condemnation will drive you further from God. So if ever you sense condemnation, it's not from God. God isn't here to condemn. He did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. That's right. He came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come to seek and condemn the lost, but to save them. And so if you're ever in church or anywhere and you sense this heavy-handed thing of condemnation, it's not from God. Now, there's a difference. He will convict my heart, but that drives me to my knees and say, Lord, please. please restore me. Condemnation will drive you further from God.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled The Promise of the Holy Spirit by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. And until the same time tomorrow, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.